camp a couple of weekends ago. You saw the ball field. And it's got grass on it now, or sparingly. And we'll go hard at it this spring to get more grass on it before the kids wear it out. But one thing we had to eliminate, you saw the slip and slide. The senior girls, that's the last time we'll slip and slide on the ball field because it's flat. You can't slip. Before, we had a 12-foot degree angle, and so they could go down it. But now we'll have to figure out another place. So we welcome the flatness. The other big project we're doing, we're right now clearing a bunch of trees out. We're going to come up with a alpine tower, it's called. It's a telephone. It looks like a teepee. It'll set up 50 feet up in the air, and we'll work our OAP, our Outdoor Adventure Program, off of that basically big structure. As most of your children or young people would know, we've used trees in the past. They did very well for a number of years, but unfortunately, they die. And when the tree goes, our element goes. And so we've actually lost enough trees where we can't do that anymore. And there's other legal ramifications of getting inspections and liabilities. So the board has ventured out, and we're going to be constructing by the summer a big alpine tower where we'll be able to run 6 or 8 events off of this one tower. And it'll be pretty massive. It'll, like I said, when you're standing at the top, and again, remember, you're on a mountain, so you're going 50 feet higher than the mountain, the vantage point should be very beautiful. So we're excited about that. We're stepping out in faith. It'll be a turnkey project. But we know that's kind of our claim to fame, is the OAP, the Outdoor Adventure. We don't have a river. We don't have a lake. We don't have a gym. But we have a mountain, and we try to use it to the best of our ability. So pray for us as we're entering into the contract stage of that, and we'll be negotiating all this stuff there. So let's get back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 10. And if you'll notice, I'm going to back up. There's nothing special about the P words. As I studied this, I like doing this. It keeps my attention. But if you'll walk through these, and you'll see a progression. And you see that false walk, the pseudo walk. Then you see the prepared walk. Okay, we know, we've talked a little bit about that. Then you're going to see a prioritized walk, and we're going to go to that one. But then notice all of a sudden we go to a pitiful walk. And that's a warning to Christians, and you'll see that. And then, as you see, we cross that pitiful walk, then we get to a passionate walk. And then we start gaining momentum to a pattern walk, and hopefully I'll end up on the purposeful walk. I'm probably going to veer off and throw the pitiful walk in there just to show us a caution that even Christians, you know, yes, a lot of times, especially with young people, we get excited. We have that mountaintop experience. We come to know the Lord as our Savior. We understand what He did for us. And man, we get excited, all full of zeal. Then we go off that mountaintop experience. We get into the drudgery of life, the workplace, the school. And all of a sudden, our vantage point starts to shift. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But the prepared walk, I want to impress upon you. If you'll notice, all through Ephesians, it's really an action. Walk. Do. So if you're not walking, doing, then shame on us, okay? And I'm speaking to myself as well. Because remember, our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. And that's what we want people to see, is we say and do the same thing. Well, notice the very last. The transformation happens right there when we are saved. But you know, can you reflect back to when you were saved? If you were much like me, God had to do a miraculous work. You know, because He took a hunk of junk, okay? And now He's going to mold it to do a prepared walk. Something for Him. I don't know how He worked in your life, but I can tell you how He worked in mine. And A lot of it is through His Word, but also a lot of it is through others. And, you know, as a young guy, I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior at 7 years old through Sunday school. But, you know, I kind of was hot and cold, hot and cold. I don't know if you've had that experience. But, yes, I would get excited, study and witness and read. And then all of a sudden, when the pressures got on, and, you know, they don't have to be negative pressures. It can be good pressures. I get sidetracked. And I don't read. And I don't pray. And fellowshipping with the saints at meetings might not be a priority. And so then all of a sudden I'd go again. Well, it took a man, that if I was to name his name, you may or may not know him. But if you knew him, this was uncharacteristic of this guy. He was a quiet guy. He was a computer programmer, worked for IBM. He was very instrumental in youth work. He was always, as long as I've known him, he was always involved in youth work somehow, some way. But, and listen to this, behind the scenes. He was supportive of youth work, but he was not the front man, if you will. Much like at camp, we have 250 volunteers that support that work, that make it happen every week. We have people behind the scenes. But this man was dedicated, and he had an uncanny desire. He was one of these men of few words, but when E.F. Hutton spoke, and he wasn't E.F. Hutton, but for those that remember that commercial, you listened, because he had a point, and he was making it, okay? And he knew how to make it. And I can tell you, in my life, he invested. He didn't invest as a Sunday school teacher. He invested just being casual, talking to me. What George is doing with these young people, that's investing time. This man invested. He had a family of his own. Know him quite well. But he earned the right, and get this, to walk up one day and hit me between the eyes. Not with his hands or fist, with his words. I call it, he gut punched me. On a ball field, he pulls me aside and he gives me that sentence. And really the sentence was, when are you going to quit playing the Christian game? Well, I'm telling you, if you've never had somebody that you respected and knew look you in the eye and ask you that question, it's a humbling experience. Because a lot of times you think you're getting away with it. But that's when we go to this prioritize walk. Because we have to prioritize our walk. If we don't, other things will get in the way. And I let things get in the way. And he saw that. And he could see, even though it was a hunk of junk back at that conversion, as God was working. And he would actually encourage and motivate. When I got married, he encouraged Jackie and I, real privately, just to do things with them. As he got older, every time I saw him, he would give me a sentence. He never got out of my life, even though our distances grew apart because we moved and relocated. But every time we were together at a conference or at a meeting, he would come. And we had fun with him because he didn't like his middle name. And I didn't really care for my middle name. So I always would refer to him as his middle name, which was Frank, and mine was Patterson. And so he was Frank and I was Patterson. And so we knew that was kind of our bond together. But when we go to this next walk, the prioritized walk, notice what's happening in our lives. We've gone from the pseudo walk. We understand that God has a purpose for us. And now we need to understand we've got a role in that as well. Because, you know, we make our own decisions on a lot of things that we do. And notice, this is that part of that sanctification that starts to happen, changing us from the old man to the new man. And guess what? It never ends. I think if you ask the oldest person in this auditorium, have you conquered the old man? The answer will be no. It's something we battle because we're by nature, you know, sinners, as Joe prayed this morning. But notice what we do. We want to now walk worthy, as this prioritized walk tells us to do, to walk worthy of our calling. Let's look at those verses real quick. Doug, I might have lost those glasses. Oh, well. I'll try to wing it, which I can't. Whoosh, hang on, let me find them. Not there. Uh-oh, David. I did leave them. I'm sorry. Thank you, brother, because I'm blind as a bat.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. I thought I had them hanging there. Matter of fact, to show you, my Bible's upside down, okay? I cannot see without them. Now, I can see your faces, so don't go to sleep, okay? I just can't see right here. But notice this next walk. I call it the prioritized walk. And because this is really, this has one of those asterisks in my Bible. Because this is something for me to focus on. Because I can't earn my salvation through works, but I can prioritize my walk. And notice what Ephesians 4, and we'll read the first six verses. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The prioritized walk, that you walk worthy. Now here's how you walk. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And notice this next phrase. Why do we do that? Here's the why. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The prioritized walk. The how. That's the attitude. You know, again, I said we make choices. And unfortunately, we have to really own up to that. For us to be used of God, to be that prepared walk, God's got a goal for us to do. Are we going to do it? You know, the Bible is riddled with examples. Aren't you glad your name's not in this Bible and my name's not in this Bible? I look at people like Samson. You know, boy, he had a purpose. But boy, he had a failure, didn't he? And we can track people all through Scripture. So we have living examples. And guess what? If you and I, if our life was in that Bible, it would probably be just like many of those, where they started off well, they might have fallen, but hey, like Samson, he ended well. God did his purpose. So that's that sanctification. It's our attitude. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon him. And I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. As I said, this one has an asterisk in my Bible because this is a focus of mine. I want to walk worthy of the Lord. I hope you do too. Notice, it's an attitude. I've got to purpose myself to do it. I've got to set priorities. You know, in life, it's easy to get off track. You know, in this day and time, with all that's going on in our culture and business, you know, you hear about goal setting, or some might say, you know, make sure you have clear expectations, they'll say. But, you know, here's God's expectation, that we walk worthy of that prepared walk that we have. And then notice the objective. The objective is so that others can see we're all unified. We're together. You're unified. You know, we don't talk about unification much. But, you know, it says later in Ephesians that we have unity. We have it. So what does that mean? If we don't have unity, it means we lost it. We lost it. So, again, notice that we have one purpose, and that is to proclaim God's love. There's one God. And then why? So the church could be one. That we could be united together. And isn't it great? Now, that's one thing we can really rejoice about here at Fair Bluff is the love that we have. You've heard it this morning, the fellowship, the Royal Rumble, and the international golf. I mean, we do a lot of that. Those are just fun things that just come out of our love for one another because we love the Lord. We gather to meet with Him. And because of that, now we love, because I'm telling you, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't love me, and I surely wouldn't love Ed Canty, okay? I just wouldn't. But, you know, I can tell you, Brother Ed and I, y'all only get half of that golf outing because we ride down there and come back together. And we laugh from the day we pull out of the house to the day we drive back into that house and just having fun and just talking and sharing. Some of it's serious. Sometimes we share our struggles as we're driving. But we always come out in a very joyful aspect. And I know many of you do as well. So again, maybe if you underline that walk worthy, how are you walking? Remember, that's our goal. Let's look at our next walk, which is, I mentioned I wasn't going to do it, but I am. I've got time. The pitiful walk. Now, I want you to watch with me as you read in your Bibles, verses 17 to 19. Now notice, we've already made the transformation. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're a Christian. We're a called out one. We've started that process of understanding there's a work for us to do, a ministry, you might say. And then we said, okay, we've got to prioritize. We want to walk worthy. But all of a sudden, Paul writes these words in verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, and we could go on, but we'll stop. Notice Paul instructs the church at Ephesus, don't walk that way. Stop it. Well, did we make the connection? Obviously, some were walking that way. The pitiful walk. Isn't it so pitiful to see somebody that's been blessed of God, that's been sanctified and working, all of a sudden turn and lose sight of all the blessings that they have learned and experienced? Oh, it's a pitiful walk. Let's be on guard. Let's be on guard with this walk. And you know, it's easy. If you read down through it, notice how they got sidetracked there. It started in their mind. They started thinking. And then the mind starts to cloud, and then all of a sudden sin doesn't become sin anymore. All of a sudden, bad things are really not that bad. And then all of a sudden their heart begins to say, you know, hey, you know, going to the Panthers Sunday during meeting time is not bad either. We got to get out there for the crowds. You know how I hate crowds. So I can't go to the meeting. If I'm going to see the ball game, I got to get out there early because I don't like being in traffic. But I won't see the ball game. Little things, and I'm just picking on that, you know. I'm not picking on anybody. But all of a sudden, our heart gets slanted. It gets diverted. Again, isn't that a pitiful walk? And then, here comes self, right? It's what I want. It's my desires. It's what makes me happy. It doesn't matter what this says. Now it's turned to me. All of a sudden I'm getting blinded. And you know, Satan's good at that. He is really good at that because he can take good things to blind us. Yeah, now, I'm sure we would all run from killing someone, being a murderer. We would run from that. But yet, there's other things that we might just walk right next to that would take us away from walking worthy of our calling for that prioritized walk. So just brief caution. Notice this is the church at Ephesus he's writing to. This is believers. So we can make the application to ourselves. I hope you're not in that pitiful walk. And if you are, praise the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says we can confess it and be right back walking worthy with the Lord. You know, our God is a God of U-turns. And we see that a lot up at Mountaintop. And that's one of the blessings we can see when we see young people, especially young adults. Believe it or not, sometimes we have to call them cabin leaders now. What used to be counselors in our day is now has to be cabin leaders because they're not officially trained to be counselors. So we can't call that title. That's one of the transformations we have to make in all our literature. But, you know, to see even counselors or cabin leaders renew their walk with the Lord. You say, well, they shouldn't be up there. Well, you know, sometimes things happen. But it's good to see that even the messages to the boys and girls, no matter what their age, can impact even us older ones. I can tell you this, sometimes I sit, as a matter of fact, if we're up there, we sit in the messages. And we listen to them, and boy, they encourage us. They challenge us. Yes, we're talking to young people. But yet they hit us as well. Isn't that what the Word of God says? You know, it is profitable for us. For instruction, Paul would write to Timothy. It instructs us. So again, the pitiful walk. Just a word of caution. Watch it. Then our next one is the passionate walk. And I'm going to just go through this one because I want to end up on our last one. But notice, this one has a process too, and I'm going to just highlight it real quick. If you read through it, we're to walk in love, and then Christ gives us an example to follow that we would walk, and his example pushes us to show us his sacrificial walk, and then it ends up to a dedicated walk. And we should emulate that. We should be a Christ one and emulate that. Notice in Christ, love was the motivator for all of those processes. It was love that carried him to Calvary. It was love, as we heard this morning, that moved him from the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary. It was love. So should we have that same passionate walk. If we don't love the Lord, I promise you, Satan will supplant that. He will throw something in our lives. You know, he's roaring around like a lion, and he's shooting fiery darts. And, you know, Satan's pretty good archer. He can hit things pretty well. He knows right where your weakness is, and he knows where my weakness is. And I tell you, we were talking with a brother last week, and, you know, we were chatting, and we were saying, you know, hey, we see this happening and this. And his first words was, be careful. Be careful. If things are going for the Lord, be careful. Satan's coming. He doesn't want, if you're not doing anything, if things aren't happening, don't worry about it. You're right where Satan wants you. You're not doing anything for the Lord. That walk's not worthy. But if you're walking for the Lord, be careful. Somebody's going to come. Something's going to happen. Be careful. Walk worthy. And we appreciate that counsel, because again, we see things, and we don't want to dishonor our Savior. We want others to see Christ through us. We want our talk and our walk to match up in everything, the good things and the bad things. We go through hardships as humans. We lose jobs. We have financial. We have sickness. We have death. But they should see Christ through us. That's how the world sees that you and I are different as Christians. Christ should be in all things. Yes, there's times of sadness. There's no doubt. Our Savior wept. But it's how he wept. He wept without no hope. No, he said, hey, look, Lazarus will be back. Don't worry. Matter of fact, he purposed to even stay away so Lazarus would be in the grave. Just to prove the point. You know, when we go through hardships, the hard part of the trial is that we don't see the end until we get to the end. Then we look back and we might can see the Lord's hand in it. But when we're going through that trial, it's tough. And we've all been there. Trust me, I know. And we'll probably experience it again. This is so why it's so important to keep our walk consistent. Walk. And after the passionate walk, then we have a patterned walk. And that's found in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. And again, we're just going to highlight it. We've been transformed, and then we have a prioritized walk, which should reflect God's love for us. And then as Christians, notice in this section, we should be producing things, fruits. Our work should be bearing fruit. People should see things in our lives. They should see things in our walk, in our testimony. They should see us honoring and loving God. It should be evident. They should see goodness and righteousness and truth. Yes, we deal with difficult situations, but we should do it not as the world would do it, but as Christ would do it. It's a pattern walk. And then finally, I want to end up on the purposeful walk, because this one is where I say the rubber meets the road. And let's turn to Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Paul exhorts them, says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. To walk circumspectly. You know, Jackie and I had a dog that walked circumspectly later in her life. She would get, as she got old, she actually had dementia as a dog, and she would walk circumspectly on the deck. And if I keep doing that, I'll be wobbly, right? But she would walk in circles. That's not what it's all talking about. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about walk, knowing that everybody around you is looking. So you almost have to turn around to make sure everybody sees what you want them to see. To walk knowing that people are observing you. Walk circumspectly. But notice what he's exploring them. Now, if you remember the pitiful walk, he said, don't walk. Notice this walk. He says, walk. It's an action. Walk. And then he tells us how to walk, knowing that people are watching. No matter what situation you and I are in, people are watching. And then he says, redeeming the time. Make that walk meaningful. Don't waste your time. Yes, we can have good time. Hey, the Royal Rumble. I promise you the ladies will have fun, but there'll be a spiritual tone to it. The international golf, we have a lot of laughs. But boy, those nights when all the men get around and we share. We pick a subject and we share. Sometimes we share our testimonies one with the other. We share our hardships. We ask each man to pray for us on things. That's that spiritual tone. Yes, we can have a good time and enjoy life, but also there's a spiritual cloud over us, if you will, because we're all doing things really for the glory of the Lord. So that's redeeming the time. Do it with a purpose. No matter what we do, do it with a purpose. And then notice the very last phrase, walk towards God's plan. Make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. And that's what Jack and I encourage you to pray for us. We're in that phase of life where we're looking clearly. Yes, we have a desire, and the door's open, but we don't want to run ahead of the Lord. We don't want to lag behind the Lord. We want to be in His timing. We want to make sure that we're doing what He wants us to do, when He wants us to do it. And so that's where we are. So, I share these walks with you, hoping that you'll remember. You can say something, but if you don't do it, you're contradicting yourself. So I'm not going to let you leave out of here until you repeat this with me again. Follow after me. Here we go. My talks and my walk talks, but my walk talks louder than... All right, let's try it a little faster. Here we go. My talk talks and my walk talks and my walk talks louder than my talk talks. Okay, hopefully that'll help you remember the walks in Ephesians. But I want you to ask yourself, this is when we make the application. How is your walk? How is my walk? What do people see? Do I say one thing and they see other things? Is it consistent? Yes, I know we all are humans. We all can improve. But what are they reading? But I want to encourage you. We saw how God can take junk, sinful people, and then transform them into good works, vessels for His honor. So the question I leave with you, walk. How are you walking? Walk. It's action. Let's do. No matter what phase of life. You know, one of the greatest phases is grandparents. I love that phase because we can influence our little ones below us. And we don't have to worry too much about the discipline. You know, that's mom and dad. But, you know, grandparents is wonderful. But we should be walking. We don't retire. We walk. We keep walking. And let me encourage each one of us. Do what we can. You know, some of us might be restricted by distance. Some could be restricted by health. Don't worry about the restriction. Walk. Do what you can do for the Lord. Do His good work while you're still here. Walk worthy. And I promise you, He'll receive the glory and honor. And that's why we're here for, is to honor our Savior. It's been a joy to be with you. We miss you guys when we're not here. We're usually on the road or up at camp or either around Pittsburgh Village. Jackie's mom, and get this, she's 98 and a half, still functioning, has a little more aches and pains. My parents are in their late 80s, and their health is declining. So we get pulled pretty hard that direction a good bit. But again, note that we miss you guys. Shoot us a text sometimes. We'll shoot back at you, and we'll stay connected that way. We'll try to make a point to give you the newsletters and so you know how to specifically pray for us and for Mountaintop. The Lord has richly blessed us, and now we're starting a new transition at Mountaintop. You know, I don't think many of you know a lot about Stan McKay, but Stan McKay, he wasn't the founder, but he was old as dirt, okay? He was there maybe 5 years, the best I can track. He came on the scene actively about 5 years after the three men that actually bought the land at Mountaintop. So from that purchase, he came on the scene about 5 years after that and has been there up until this past Labor Day. And he's been a steady force, even in his old age. I could call him. I'd probably talk to him 3 times a week, just asking him questions. How'd you handle this? What did you see? Who is this person? He was my reference. And, you know, he was such a blessing. Well, we've lost that. The Lord called him home after many years of faithful service. And so now we're starting a new chapter. So pray that the camp will stay steady, that we will meet the goals that the forefathers had for us, and that is to evangelize youth and to motivate the saints, to encourage the saints to walk. So let's all walk. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we're so thankful that You can take sinners, and because of Your saving grace and mercy, You can change, and you can change us. We've used that word sanctification. You can start to purify us, making us what You want us to be. Lord, we're so thankful that You loved us so much. We're so thankful that You have a plan for us. We know that you had a plan for salvation all through the beginning of time, and yet we read where each saint has a specific role for you. Lord, we would just pray that our walk would be pleasing to you. We would pray that our talk and our walk would match. Lord, help us to be beacons for you. It's not us, it's you. Help us to show forth your love. You know our society needs it. You know our society needs right and wrong. Help us to stand firm, but yet have a love. You know, someone has said, we need to love the sinner, but hate the sin. Help us to make that distinction. Where we reach out, we evangelize, and then we train. We encourage. Lord, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the years that these doors have been open. We pray that you would continue to guide and direct. We pray for the elders and the deacons as they go through the business affairs and the spiritual affairs of this assembly. You know what it's meant to Jackie and my lives. It's been a source of encouragement, a source of fellowship. Lord, we've grown here, and we would just ask you to continue to encourage each saint here. Keep this special love that's in this room growing more and more. We know that if it's left upon us, we're going to mess it up. But we know if we love you, you can love through each one of us. And therefore, we'll love one another. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings in our Savior's name. Amen.